Podcast 71, The Life and Mission of John the Baptist. The Gospel reading for today's podcast is Luke chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. Today I am focusing on the story of John the Baptist, which is a regular part of the Advent themes. So we will be looking at the mission of John the Baptist, his role in the Gospel story, and at the same time reflect on the interplay between politics and religion. And as I've prepared this topic, I've reflected on the link between politics and religion. Some people say these two elements don't ever mix, but I don't know, what do you think? Is there a role for the church in terms of what happens in the political arena of the day? And we'll come back to that question. For about 1,000 years, from Moses to Malachi, God spoke to his people by sending them prophets. After Malachi, there was a 450-year prophetic silence, a silence that was finally broken with the first prophet of the New Testament period, John the Baptist. The Gospels record at least 4 different references to John as the forerunner who was prophesied in Malachi 3 to prepare the way of the Lord. Just like Jesus, right from the start of his life, John was marked out as being special. Remember that Elizabeth, his mother, had been barren, and this child was a miracle for that reason only. Also, his father Zechariah had had a vision in the temple with an angel speaking to him about his son. Because of his unbelief, the angel had struck Zechariah dumb. And so we read that when the baby was born, Zechariah had to write down the name. He couldn't speak it. As soon as he had written down the name, he's able to speak again. And this passage finishes with a statement of wonder from the people who witnessed this event. They say, "What then is this child going to be?" Of course, we know the answer to that question as the Gospels unfold the rest of the story of John. He grows up to be a prophet and the forerunner announcing the coming of the Messiah, Jesus. The season of Advent begins with the story of John the Baptist, because in this season, like John, we're looking forward to and preparing for the coming of the King. God's word to all humanity came to a wild and unconventional man who lived in the deep of the desert, on the fringes of society rather than in its corridors of power, at the periphery rather than the epicenter. The divine messenger and his message originated in an unlikely place and from an improbable source. John would have been easy to ignore if you expected or wanted something normal, safe, or traditional. Neither John nor his message was normal by any stretch of the imagination. Some scholars think that John was part of the Jewish sect of the Essenes, who opposed the established religious hierarchy based at the Temple of Jerusalem. Some of the possible connections with the Essenes include John's focus on baptism in water. The Essenes were very scrupulous about the requirements of ritual bathing prescribed in the Torah. In our time, the most famous legacy of the Essenes are the Dead Sea Scrolls, found in the Essene caves in the Judean desert. At least this much is clear. John the Baptizer was a prophet of radical dissent. His detractors said that he had a demon. You find this in Luke 7 verse 33. In the end, he paid the ultimate price for faithfulness to his prophetic calling. By contrast, John's father had been part of the religious establishment and had a role as a priest in the Jerusalem temple. John fled the comforts and corruptions of the city for the loneliness of the desert. There he dressed in animal skins and ate insects and wild honey. In other words, like any poor person, anything edible he could find. There he also preached, living on the margins of society both literally and figuratively. He preached a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. "People needed to repent," said John, "because with Jesus, the kingdom of heaven is near." This is the exact same message that Jesus preached when he began his own public ministry. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near," Matthew tells us in chapter 4, verse 17. It's also the exact same message that Jesus instructed his disciples to proclaim. "As you go, preach this message, the kingdom of heaven is near," Matthew 10, verse 7. In Jesus, God's reign and rule has arrived. John urged his listeners to prove their spiritual intentions by concrete deeds, rather than by claims of religious or political affiliation. Some among the crowds took John at his word, but neither the occupying Roman powers nor the religious establishment in the temple did. To their credit, they had the political awareness to understand that his message was not only deceptively simple, it was deeply subversive to the established order. So in considering my original question, should religion and politics be separate? In this case, John the Baptist's answer is an emphatic no. John emerges from the desert, and about 6 months after baptizing Jesus, he publicly rebukes the political ruler of the area, Herod Antipas, on a moral issue. He criticizes Herod for marrying Herodias, who had left her previous husband, Herod Philip, who was Herod Antipas's brother, to marry Herod Antipas. I know, too many Herods, all too confusing. Herod Antipas's response is ambivalent. He is recorded in Mark 6, verse 20, as being greatly puzzled by John, yet he liked to listen to him. However, his new wife, Herodias, hates John with a passion, because of his public denunciation of her remarriage, and she probably pressures Herod into putting John in jail. She then uses her daughter to manipulate a promise from Herod, and after dancing at a dinner party, Salome, coached by her mother, requests the head of John the Baptist on a platter as a reward for her dancing. So in order not to appear foolish in front of his guests, Herod has John beheaded, and Herodias is triumphant. So if you can agree with the principle that politics and religion don't live in separate boxes, then who are the prophets of today, like John the Baptist, who speak out and bring kingdom values into the national and global systems of power? As I've reflected on this, I've considered several 21st century people who could be considered to be acting in a prophetic role to the political and governmental powers nationally and internationally. Internationally, my nomination for prophet in the footsteps of John the Baptist is Pope Francis, the current Catholic Pope. This Pope is definitely radical and definitely subversive in what he says and does. This is a quote from a recent address he made. "I encourage the financial experts and the political leaders of your countries to consider the words of St. John Chrysostom. Not to share one's goods with the poor is to rob them and to deprive them of life. It is not our goods we possess, but theirs." So for us sitting in the pews today, what does the story of John the Baptist tell us? I think there are three things. Firstly, the church cannot and should not ignore or consider itself separate or uninvolved from the political world, but only if there is a specific moral corruption or injustice in either local or national government. When the poor and the powerless are being oppressed by political power, then the church, through its prophets and in any other ways available to it, must speak out, regardless of the consequences. Secondly, for people we recognize as prophets among us in our society today, we should pray for them and support them. Being a prophet is a risky business. And finally, with his pronouncement and martyrdom, John counsels each of us to turn away from anything and everything that might hinder ultimate allegiance to Jesus. He invites us to make our crooked ways straight, to flatten all hilly terrain, and to prepare space for the birth of the Messiah into our own lives. When we do that, we'll find ourselves in living out the kingdom of God that subverts and transcends all politics and religions.